ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Body with the modes of material structure. That is work. material body is dead. Then the soul comes under the three modes of material nature. Then it begins to perform material form. So I give you this definition to very easily take it to the platform of understanding that material work is performed by a person who has a duty. Now you will understand duty. Because when you say interaction of the three modes of material nature, naturally you have goodness, passion and ignorance. So only a person in these three modes may have to perform work. So the Shudra is in ignorance. Or Vaishya is in which mode? Passion and ignorance. Kshatriya is in mode of caste. And Brahmana is in goodness. So anybody falling in these categories, naturally will have to perform their duty. So have to perform the work. And the work is described in the Shastra, like Brahman has to yajan, he has to chant, he has to recite and teach people, and he has to study and he has to teach, and he has to accept charity, and he has to give charity. Similarly, Kshatriya has to protect the innocent, he has to protect the children, the old, the women, the cows, and the Brahmanas. He has to protect them, and he has to protect Dharma. Similarly, Vaishya has to do trade, banking, and cow protection, and farming. These are activities of Vaishya. And Shudra has to serve the other three classes. So these are all the duties of every particular order. So that is duty. But here he is saying, a particular type of person has no duty, he says. Who is that person? One who is Atmarat. Atmarat means one who takes pleasure in the self. That means only a person who has something to achieve, some fruit to achieve, has certain duty to perform. Like you go to office and you get some salary in return. The rickshaw wala drives the rickshaw and he gets some money in return. So he has certain activity to perform. But if a person has nothing to achieve in all the three worlds, he also has no duty to perform. You understand this logic? If a person has nothing to achieve in all the three worlds, then he has no duty to perform. Such a person is actually called as a offer. One who is satisfied in the self. Simply by pronouncing this word, probably you cannot understand what it means to say Atmarati or Atmakrutrascha. Actually, Atmarati is not a man who is idle, not doing any work, who has no duty. It's not such a person. When you say Atmarati or Atmakrutrascha, that's a Prabhupada translated word Atmakrutra as self-illuminated, he says. Self-illuminated means such a person is in communion with the Supreme Lord. And all his activities are in line with the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person is actually an Atmarati. That means he may not be interacting with the material world, but he is interacting very much with the Supreme Lord. For example, Sri Gaurudevan Babaji, just a few days ago we had his celebration of his disappearance day. So he was very much afraid of the materialistic people. Sometimes when rich Jamindars used to go with their wives and children, the Babaji would run away. He would try to hide from them. And people would go to them to ask for some material prospects and material benefits. So one time, king of the state and the queen, they came to meet Babaji and request him that they would like to render some service to him. So he told them, the best service you can do for me is to make this public latrine available for me, for my father. Public latrine available for performing my sadhana. Can you ever imagine? They didn't hear him properly. What did he say? They asked him. He said, I want the public latrine for my use to chant the holy names of the Lord. Then they asked, why do you need such a horrible place? We just build a mahal for you. He said, no. This is the best place for me. Because here, materialists will not come and disturb me. If somebody is really in search of God, he will not mind coming to this latrine to come and hear the knowledge from me. Other people who are coming for materialistic motives, they will never come to me to this place. And he didn't just only say it, he actually did it. He stayed in such a place and used a chance for public latrine, and nobody would ever go near him. So, a unless a person is atmanity, he cannot stay in a public latrine and chant last names. It is certainly not possible. So such atmanity sometimes perform activities which are very mysterious to understand, which is not understood by a common man. Like Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was always fearful of common people, because he was afraid that common people have a tendency to offend others. You know, common people have a tendency to criticize others. And not only that, as soon as there are two people, that is gossip. That is made to gossip. Glass of apples. Gossip turns into glass afterwards. But two hands, when you have two hands, when you clap, it produces sound. And there is only one hand, there is no sound. The same thing Madhavendra Puri used to consider, that if more than one person comes, then there is unnecessary gossip. So he always used to travel alone. He used to go to some secular place and he used to be sitting under a tree and he used to be chanting the Lord's names constantly, remembering the Lord's pastimes. And this way he would spend all his time. And he never depended on anybody for even eating or even for accommodation. He just would stay and chant the Lord's names, and Lord would make some arrangement to send him something. Like the past time we hear how Madhavendra Puri was once sitting and some village woman passed by, and they saw that this Anand is sitting for such a long time and he hadn't eaten anything right from the morning. Then later on, what did Krishna do? He himself came as Gopal and he brought a vessel full of milk for Madhavendra Puri. So the Lord is also very pleased to interact with such devotees. Lord is also very eager to know the mind of such devotees and please them and reciprocate with them with such atmaratis or atmatrittam with such people. Even Goswamis were like that. Every day they would live under 113. That is why they were guided. They never depended on anybody. They never wanted anything. They had no purpose to be achieved, because they were completely absorbed in transcendence. Such a person is called as an atmarati. So Krishna says, yasma yattu eva atmaratir eva syat asvatuttaccha manavah atman eva cha santushtam tasya kajam narityate. Such a person, there is no duty, he says. So the next verse also Krishna will say something similar. He is saying, naiva tasya pradena artho nākṛteneha kaścana nacāsa sarva-bhūteshu kaścit arta-vyapāśvaya. He is saying, the self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. So here he is saying, a secular man has no purpose to fulfill the discharge of his prescribed duty, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. Two things are here. One is, whether such a self-realized person performs work or not performs work, it is immaterial, it is said. Why is it immaterial, whether he performs work or not performs work? Because in either case he is not affected. In either case he is affected. So just like a lotus leaf in a water, you have seen? If you put a drop of water in a lotus leaf, does it stay? Doesn't stay, it just escapes easily. Similarly, this work that he might do, or the work that he does not bind him. For example, a person, if a person has a duty and he does not perform the work, what will happen? Yes? If you don't perform your duty, for example, you are supposed to go to office. If you don't go to office and don't take leave also, it is a punishment, isn't it? It is a punishment. That means by non-performance of work, we get punishment. And by performance of work, we get results, some reward, isn't it? But for this atmarati, whether he performs or doesn't perform, it doesn't make any difference. That is what the second is, shloka. Because he is transcendental. So see, all of us, we all have certain duties to perform, isn't it? We have duty towards many gods. Like they were doing Indra Puja, isn't it? Towards Indra, towards Chandra, towards Varuna, who all are supplying us the necessities of life. We also have duty towards mother and father. And we have duty towards our relatives, like uncle and aunt. Or your uncle or if you are aunt, you have duty towards your nephew or niece. You also have duty like that, relatives, after. Understand? And you also have a duty towards the people in general who live around you. Because without the people in society, you cannot survive in society. You are not living in a jungle. You are living in the society. So we have a duty towards the society also. Yes, sir. So how many duties are there? 20 duties are there. But Satya Atmarathi is freed from all these duties. He is not obliged to render any service or any duty to any of these people. He is completely free from the duties of all these people. Because he is executing his topmost duty of Krishna consciousness. Because he is directly in communion with the Lord. He has none of these duties to be performed. On the contrary, if one is not a devotee of the Lord, then all the duties need to be performed. Bhuteshu is a living entity, living being. That's also Sarva Bhuteshu. That means he is never dependent on any living being. Prachidasa Vipashraya. Vipashraya Akri is Ashraya. He takes shelter. He doesn't take shelter of any living being, he is saying. This is the nature of the self-realized soul. That he never takes shelter of living beings. Doesn't matter, even Chanakya Pandit, who was in the state of a Brahmana. Brahmana is in goodness. Just before pure goodness. Even such a Chanakya Pandit, they said, he was never dependent on Chandra Uttamarya. In fact, you all might be knowing the story that Chanakya was an ordinary Brahmana. He only raised Chandra Uttamarya to the status of a king. And he made Chandra Uttamarya acquire so much wealth. And after acquiring so much wealth, Chandra Uttam was ready to give him a palace. He said, by the side of my palace, I will give you another palace. So what did Chanakya say? He refused consent. Chandra Uttamarya was ready to give him some salary. Regular monthly salary, but Chanakya refused to accept. Chanakya, in fact, when one of the Chinese travelers came to India and he wanted to visit Chanakya, he was thinking Chanakya is a minister. Minister to the king means he must be in another palace. So he wanted to visit Chanakya, but then he was told by the soldiers that you have to go by the side of the palace into the forest. And you have to go march into the deep into the forest to find a small thatched cottage in which Chanakya was living. This was the condition of even a Brahmana. And you can imagine what is the condition of a person who is a Vaishnava or beyond a Brahmana. A conscious person. He is never dependent on anybody. He never depends on any other living being. Like Narada Muni, is he dependent on anybody? He never depends on anybody. He is just travelling all the while, taking his veena. He says, Prabhupada calls him a spaceman. Just to go from one loka to another loka, one place to another place, meeting people, giving knowledge, enlightening them. How many people is enlightened, you can imagine? Radha's been in the womb. Guru Maharaj enlightened Chitraketu, she enlightened Prachinabhar Gishas, and enlightened the sons of Dasha Prajapati, Hariyasha Salashwat. And he enlightened who else? Kailash, he enlightened the Mrigari. So, Sadhumi actually has no duty to perform. He just travels from place to place. He never depends on any living being. See, if a person is dependent on others, along with that comes the fear. Along with that fear and anxiety comes. Because Sadhumi was not depending on anybody, he was fearless. He never even feared his life. So, this is the meaning of Nacharya Sarva Bhuteshu. Kachidartha, Kachidartha. Such people have no applications also. They have no applications also. They are free from all applications. So, through Sokar, we saw the nature of the Atmarati, or Atmatrutta, person. He may not perform any duty, he is not having any obligation towards others, he is self-satisfied, he is completely happy in himself. He doesn't need anything else. That's what Krishna says in this through Sokar. But what does Krishna say further? If you see, Krishna is answering us, whether such an Atmarati, should he do what or should he not do what? What do you all say? Should he do what or he should not do what? He should do what, Krishna says. Whatever what Krishna will now say. He is saying in the next sloka, Tasmad asakta sadatam karyam karma samachara asakta chacharan karma. Paramatmanoti Purushaha. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. For by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. Can you say that quote? One concept has been explained here.
Duty. So what was Arjuna's duty?
The fight. He was Kshatriya. Actually, there are two things in that. One is, Arjuna's duty was, he was a Kshatriya, so he should fight. And Krishna also told that, isn't it? Arjuna is Kshatriya, he should fight. But that is not a superior understanding. The superior understanding is, Arjuna fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. Not because Arjuna was a Kshatriya. If you think Arjuna fought because he was a Kshatriya, that comes under the second category. That means he was attached to his work, whatever work he was supposed to perform. And he gave the fruits to Krishna. Whereas Krishna, when he is concluding Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am asking you to fight not because you are a Kshatriya. I am asking you to fight because I want you to fight. You understand? For a very, very ultimate purpose of Krishna consciousness. So here, he is telling further in the sloka, examples of people who perform the work as a matter of duty, although they need not have performed the work. He is giving examples. Karmanavi samsiddhim asita janatadeha loka sangrahamevapi sampasyan kartumahasi. Sampasyan means to consider. Loka sangrahamevapi sampasyan. Maharaj Arjuna, please consider the life of the people in Jendra who are living in this world. For that benefit, you perform your duty, he is saying. What is the meaning? He is saying, kings such as Janaka attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work, he is saying. So Janaka, who was Janaka? Janaka was? Sita's father. He was the king of Mithila, so Sita's father. He was the father-in-law of Ramachandra. You can imagine his position. He was a very, very great devotee. So such a transcendental devotee, there is actually no duty to perform. He did not have performed any duty as a king. But still, Janaka performs the duties of a king. In the same manner, Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord himself, and Arjuna is his eternal devotee. They both were standing in the midst of the battlefield and they fought the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna acted as the leader of all Kshatriyas, isn't it? And he also participated in the Kurukshetra war. Was it necessary for him? It is not necessary. Then why did Krishna do? As a matter of duty. For setting example for the future kings, that whenever God is arrives in Adharma, then we have to fight. That is the duty of a king. So Krishna actually fought in order to show this example. This can be understood even. Prabhupada explains one sentence in the purport. He says, in the modern times, like when devotees come into the moment of Krishna consciousness, like you all are coming here and you are hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and you feel very happy, and you feel very enlivened. But then when you go to the outside world, you see that there are so many atrocities going on, and nobody is interested in Krishna consciousness. And you are really always interrogated and you are ridiculed outside. So some devotees might think, that why should you go and preach? Let us take this knowledge and let us remain happy forever. But what do devotees do? Do they keep quiet after gaining this knowledge? What do? Not they preach. They go and preach. They go and preach. They live in the world. They don't go into forest. They live in the world and they preach for the benefit of people in general. Loka sangraha devaki, he says. Sampasyan. Please consider the people in general. And for that benefit, what should you do? You should fight Arjuna, he says. So we get three examples now. Three examples we give. Janaka. Janaka Maharaj was a king. He was not only a king, he was a Rajarishi. He was the father of Sita Mata, who is the eternal consort of Lord Ramachandra. And such a transcendental devotee need not perform any activity. Still, he did the activity of a king. Just for setting an example for people in general. Similar, Krishna Arjuna, both are transcendental. Transcendental Lord and transcendental devotee. They performed this act for setting the example for the future kings. Otherwise, if Arjuna had gone into forest and Krishna had not conducted the Kurukshetra war, and if Duryodhana would have become the king, then the future kings also would like to go into forest. Then the kings are the part of Dharma. So Krishna wanted to set an example. So what did he do? He conducted this Kurukshetra war, although he was never touched by any of the reactions. Similarly, in the same way, we also should preach. One time, many senior disciples of Prabhupada have come to Mayapur, Parikrama, to Mayapur. So Prabhupada saw hundreds and thousands of devotees going from Parikrama and Mayapur. And Prabhupada was very, very pleased to see all the devotees together. All devotees all over the world had come at that time. So Prabhupada, the lecture was telling, how nice it will be if we all remain in Mayapur for lifelong. How do you like the idea, Prabhupada? Now all devotees said, oh, very nice, very nice. You just remain in Mayapur forever. And all devotees like the idea. And Prabhupada said, but that's not a practical idea. Because we have to preach the world also. Because if we remain in Mayapur, we all can be happy. But the whole world will suffer. So for the sake of people in general, we have to go out and we should preach. Same thing Krishna is telling here. He is giving Arjuna the example of Janaka. He is telling, Karmaneva ki samsidhyam. So my dear Arjuna, you should work for the sake of educating the people in general. You should perform your work. And then, the next shloka, Krishna is telling the importance of setting an example. In the previous shloka he gave, who is the person who is setting an example? He gave the example of Janaka. In the next shloka he is saying, how important it is to set an example for the society. What is he saying? Yadya Rajarate Sreshta, Tatta Deve Tarojanaha, Tayasramanam Gurute, Lokan Sadhanavartate. He is saying, whatever actions the great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world was yours, he says. So he is telling Arjuna, you are in a very prominent position as a king. In the same way, anybody who is in a leadership position, in a prominent position, he has a duty to set an example. A smoker cannot teach people that you should not smoke. So he has to set an example. So he is telling Arjuna, you are a leader, you are a king, you are a kshatriya, but if you run away into forest like a coward, and not setting an example and not performing your duty, this duty, not performing your duty, then what will happen? Then it is a very, very poor example for the people in general. So you have to set an example, he says. The king of the state, the king or the executive head of the state, or the father, or the spiritual master, these three people are there. They are said to be in very responsible positions. As far as the king is concerned, he should refer to the mother smriti, shastras or dharma shastras we call them. He should refer to the shastras like that, and he should educate himself thoroughly in them. And he should himself live by those shastras and set an example for the other future kings who are going to come, and for the people in general. So anybody who is a leader, who is in leadership position, is supposed to set an example. And here, Krishna says the importance. He is telling Arjuna one acharya explains. He gives a deeper explanation to this. He is telling Arjuna, Arjuna, you have become transcendental, even to the stage of a kshatriya. So you may be qualified to enter the forest and leave everything aside and lead a Krishna conscious life and not indulge in turning duties of a kshatriya. But if you do so, the future kings who are not so much advanced, they may imitate you. And they may do the same thing, without maintaining the material desires in the core of their heart. And because of which they will not be able to perfect their lives. So for their sake, what should you do? You should assume the duty of a kshatriya and you should fight. Yes, I am. This is the deeper meaning of this shloka. Yajadachar this shrestha. So Krishna is insisting now the importance of doing the work. And then Krishna goes on to give his own example. He is telling in the next loka, Tame Pantasi Kartavyam Tishu Lokesha Kinchana Dana Vastama Vastavyam Vasta Eva Chakarmani Hosan Astuta. There is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Nor have I in want of anything. Nor have I a need to obtain anything. And yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. Actually, God is designed in so many ways. One of the definition is Atasya Karyam Karanam Chavityati. He has no duty to perform. Because he is transcendental. Atasya Karyam Karanam Chavityati. There is no one who is equal to him. Nandat samascha. Samascha means equal. Adikascha means greater. Nandat samascha adikascha drishyate. There is nobody equal to him, there is nobody greater than him. And how does he do his activities? Parasya shukta vivideva shuyate. Svabhavati jnana bala kriyasya. But his jnana, bulk, he is doing his all his activities through his knowledge and his will, whether he can do all his activities. Then if Krishna wants to create a brahmanda, he has to just have a will in the mind. Immediately it is created. That fact is that even if a person becomes free from all this years, from all material this years completely, that means he doesn't have any aspirations or anchoring in the material world. Such a person, if he just desires something, that will immediately happen. That is said. Psychology, chastity. Suddenly, why a person who never desires, if he desires, then it will immediately happen. Like that. So Krishna is like that. He has no desires at all. He is free from all desires. But when he desires, okay, let me create the material world. Immediately it takes place. Material world immediately comes. So such a person who has natascha karyam, karanascha vidyate. He has no reason to perform any duty at all. Such a person, Krishna, what is he saying here? He is saying, although I have no reason to perform any work, I still perform my prescribed duties. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that Krishna, when he was living in Dwaraka, in every house he was performing his prescribed duty. In one house he was doing the Vedic Yajna, Karma Kanda. In another house Krishna was meditating. In another house he was performing some purificatory ceremonies, like that, some sanskaras he was doing. So, sometimes people when they read Krishna book, they become shocked. What is this? Krishna is performing these activities like a common human being. Why is he performing? So one day Krishna is performing demigod worship. So one day wonder if Krishna is God, then why is he performing all these things? Prabhupada explains very nicely in the purport that Krishna did not perform these activities, but because he was setting an example for the common human beings, he was doing these activities. That is why he was performing these activities. You will see in Bhagavatam that when Krishna met the Pandavas, you know how he meets them? When he meets the seniors, he is offering obeisances. When he meets Kunti, when he meets his sister, he offers obeisances. When he meets the equals, like Arjuna, he is embracing them. He is clasping the hands. Not embracing. He is clasping the hands with them and shaking the hands. And when he is meeting the juniors, he is embracing them. So these are all the etiquettes by which the person should behave with others like that. And when Krishna saw Bhishma Pitama, how did he receive when he went to the battlefield? He offered obeisances, you know that? When he saw Bhishma Pitama in the Arabic, so Krishna was offering obeisances like anybody else, and other Pandavas. So Krishna follows this etiquette, although it is not necessary for him to follow. Is it necessary for Krishna to follow these things? He can tell everyone, I am God, I don't need to respect all of you. You all respect me. He can do that if he wants. But what does he do? He is following all these etiquettes for the sake of setting an example for others. Now, somebody might ask a question. Somebody might pose a question. That Krishna's activities, some of the activities of Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan, they are not worth following. We cannot follow them. Can we imitate them? You are saying that we should follow Krishna. So can we follow some of the tricks that Krishna used in the battlefield, or the way he behaved with the gopis in Vrindavan? Can we imitate those activities? That we cannot do. That must never be done. Because on one hand you have Krishna's words, on the other hand you have Krishna's actions. Why does Krishna perform such activities? Anybody can say? For two reasons he performs. Let me see whether you have thought at least one reason. Yes, correct. To please the devotees. He did not worry about the world. In order to please the devotees, he performs such activities. And another reason? Those are examples like Krishna. There are certain activities of Krishna which are difficult to understand. Like his trickery in Mahabharata, all his relationship with the gopis in Vrindavan.
To do that, whatever he does.
Yes, exactly. That's the second reason. To prove that he is supremely independent and he is not bound by any so called mundane laws and morality. He is not bound by them. So both of them are given both reasons. That's the first reason. He wants to please his devotees. He doesn't bother about the world. He just wants to please his devotees. What the world might speak about him, he never bothers. He simply wants to increase the love for his devotees. Love of his devotees towards him and his love for them. But also he wants to prove his supreme power that there is nobody as powerful as him and he can do anything. His supreme personality is Godhead. In other words, he is showing his authority. Say, for example, in a company, say for example, the owner of a company is there. So one of the engineers working in the company, say he has got a 12 casual leaves. in a year. And this person has taken all the 12 casualty leaves. And the manager called this person and told him that you have taken all the casualty leaves, now you will not get a single day leave. And the owner of the company might come and then come to this man and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, you have done such a nice job. You have done this thing to our company and I am very pleased with you. So I am giving you 1 month leave. Thank you." So can anybody stop me? Is there anybody who has the ability to stop the owner from giving 1 month leave to this engineer? Nobody has the right to do anything. That means the owner is just exercising his authority, just to keep people in knowledge what he can do, what are his abilities. In the same way, sometimes Krishna, in order to prove his supremacy and his supreme independence, being Swaraj, he may perform such activities. But we people in general, we should not imitate that. So when it comes to the question of such things, on one hand you have Krishna's words, and on the other hand you have Krishna's actions. What should follow? Krishna's words and not his actions. It is true with very advanced souls also. When it comes to the question of following their words or following their actions, generally we follow both the words and actions. But sometimes when you are doubtful about a particular action of an advanced Vaishnava, if you are not understanding what should we do, then follow the words, instructions, or words. Like Lord Shiva, we have the Rudra Gita to the Prachetas. Very, very nice instructions to Prachetas to follow. He told them how by singing the Rudra Gita they can achieve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very nice to follow. But if someone says, "I am going to imitate Lord Shiva," then you have to drink the halahala. Can you drink that? So Prabhupada says, if somebody wants to imitate Krishna, then from that they imitate Shiva. And even if they want to imitate Krishna, they don't have to go over than here. Even if you want to imitate, we cannot imitate perfectly. Because Krishna is said go over than here, which we cannot do. He proved to be supreme in all ways. So, here, in this two shloka, Krishna is saying, "Yadi shyaham navatte yam jatu karman yad arantritaha. For if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path." So Krishna is saying, I am also doing my duty. Actually it's not his duty. But he is saying, even I have devised the duty for myself and I am doing that as my duty. What are the duties Krishna is doing? They are creating the material world, destroying the material world, maintaining the material world, and giving scriptures for the people in general, and uplifting the people. So these are all activities that Krishna is doing through the agency of so many people. There are so many agents like that Krishna is doing. So he is telling, I am also doing a duty. And Janaka asking, who is the liberated soul, who is the father of Sita? He is doing his duty. Then what should you not do your duty? He is telling. So he is telling, you do your duty, but in a detached way. Do it in a detached way. So now what we are understanding is this one, this category we are understanding today. Whatever we have heard today is perform your duty, but offer the fruits to me, Krishna is saying. For my sake, you offer the fruits to me like that. So later on, when we come, we will understand how one should not be even attached to work. One should be just attached to entering service according to the desire of the Lord. That will be explained when we go ahead in the Sutra, and from 25 onwards, you will understand. From 25 to 34, you will see next week, then we will understand how one should perform work. It's a little tough subject matter. I should try to understand it properly. I'll quickly revise these few sentences what we saw today. We saw from sloka number 17th and 18th, Yasmat Smart Revasya Atmatutta Shamanavra. This sloka and Naivada Chakrana. So in the first sloka and 17th number sloka, Krishna is telling the nature of a person who is Atmarati. The Atmarati, or the person who is taking pleasure in the self, or call him as Atmaram also, not Indriyaram. How is this? It's Atmaram. Why is Krishna said Indriyaram? What is that? Can you remember? Indriyaram, I said, no? Indriyaram is one who is taking pleasure in sense gratification. But here he is talking about Atmaram or Atmarati. So he is telling Atmasi is a self-illuminated person and he is always in communion with the Lord. Such a person has no duties to perform. Otherwise, others have duty to perform, like Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They all are in some modes. So long as a person is in modes, he has certain duties to perform. But Atmarati has no duty to perform, he said in the first sloka. The second sloka, he said, such a Atmarati, he is not dependent on anybody. He never depends on any living being. One time, Akbar and Tarsan. Tarsan actually took Akbar to a very, very great devotee of Krishna. Akbar is a of his palace. On the way back, Akbar was telling Tarsan, Tarsan, this devotee is singing in such a mysterious way. I was really crying tears when he was singing. It was just penetrating my heart. How is it that he is able to sing so nicely? Well, you are such a professional musician, you are not able to sing in such a nice way. And Tarsan said, my Lord, I am singing for your pleasure. He is singing for the Lord's pleasure. That is why he is touching your heart. Listen. So this is the meaning of, this is the nature of this Atmarati. They are actually nobody to bow down to. They are nobody to depend on. There are many stories in the scriptures you will find. Like Alexander once called for a very great sage. A great sage sent back a notice that even if he will chop off my head, I will not come and meet him. He told him, he gave back a message that I am not dependent on anybody, I am not dependent on your king, Alexander. He might have conquered the entire world, but he has failed to conquer his mind and senses. Like that he wrote a very bold letter back, sent it back. And later on, Alexander read it, and he asked, who is this person who is so courageous? I will go and bow down to him. I am looking for such a courageous person in this world. He said that Alexander went to him. And then Alexander made this great personality, great sage, and bowed down to him. So Atmarathis are one who are actually never obliged to anybody. We will see in this world, we have applications which are unlimited. That means you have unlimited desires. That's the conclusion. What's the conclusion? Yeah. Greedy to which you have desires, that much application you will have to that many people. You'll have so much application to so many people. But Atmarati or Atmatrittasya Manava, such a person, has become free from all desires. So he doesn't depend on anybody, nor is obliged to anybody. So that's that. I was telling the example of Narada. And then in the 19th sloka, that's all. So 17th and 18th, these two slokas, Krishna is talking about Atmarati and what is his nature. Then what does he say further in 19th sloka? Here he says, whether such Atmarati should work or not work. So what does he say? He is saying, he should work, he says. So Anata asks the fruits of his action, such a person should still work. And set an example, he said, in the 18th sloka, in the 19th. And then the 20th sloka, he is giving an example of a person who is an Atmarati, but who still continues to work. Who is that? Janaka, he said, Janaka and many other Rajarishis. All of you are finding it difficult or is it easy? Little difficult, isn't it? So, understanding? So, Janaka, he is giving the example of Janaka. So why should Janaka work, he says? What is the reason, he says, anybody can say? Loka sangraha me vapi sampasya kartumarhasi. What is the meaning? For the sake of educating the people in general, considering that in mind, the person who is Atmarati still should perform the work without attachment. Yes, and then what does he say in the next sloka 21? The importance of setting an example, he is saying. Then he says, yes, there are Atmarati Shrestha, Atatevetara. Who are all the important people who are supposed to set examples? Generally, the leaders of society. Who are the leaders? The kings, fathers, the spiritual masters, and the teachers of the Prabhupada, teachers. They are the leaders. So they should be well conversant with the scriptures, like the spiritual leaders should be conversant with the scriptures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, spiritual literature, and kings should be conversant with the Manuspati and Shastra Shastras, and teachers with the respective knowledge, and they should educate the people in general, and set an example for the people. Right. So kings should perform the duty of Kshatriya. Even if they become transcendental, he is telling, even if they become transcendental, the thinking, like even Janaka was transcendental actually. He was a devotee. He was the father of Mother Sita. And he said such a thing also should remain a Raja Rishi and set an example for the people in Ganga. And then whose example is giving?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
As I already told you, for devotee, there is ceremony has to be taken somewhere for Krishna. Krishna service. So if you are using that money for Krishna service, that means you are offering all your food to Krishna. So that person is offering all his 5,000 in Krishna service. That's how it is considered. All the 5,000 that he is earning, it is offered as offering the entire amount in Krishna service. Why? Because the person is using the barest minimum for himself and the rest of it for Krishna service. It is offered as offering all his food for Krishna service. That's the person. So in whichever body the soul has taken, you get the benefit. According to the task of the Pindu Gaya which you perform, that is performed because the forefathers might have performed very sinful activities due to which they might be in ghostly bodies. Possible. So if they are in ghostly bodies, our performance of Pindu Gaya will go and deliver them from ghostly bodies and offer them a suitable human body for the future. But by good fortune, if they are already in a human body, yes, then wherever that soul is, our performance of Pindakriya goes to that soul and acts as a benefit to that soul. Our performance of Pindakriya is actually something material. It also gives them something. That is why devotees in our ISKCON moment, we don't perform Pindakriya, rather we prefer calling devotees to our house and doing some kirtans and hearing some Bhagavad Gita, by which the house becomes purified and the particular soul who gets the benefit of the chanting Hare Krishna, he gets a transcendental benefit. So we should give them a transcendental benefit instead of giving them a material benefit. So if you are doing something good, material punya for the forefathers, they might go to Pitraloka and enjoy a lot of material benefits. Is that useful? It is no good. What is the use of going to higher and higher heavenly planets and enjoying the material benefits? We should give them something that is transcendental. Do you understand transcendental? Spiritual. Spiritual benefit we should give. So in our moment, even for Shraddha, for the Vedic ceremony, devotees celebrate it. Our devotees see that in our temple, somebody on Shraddha day, they gave sponsorship on a Sunday program. So we distributed prasadam to people. So for example, if somebody's grandfather has passed away, so that person can give money for the Sunday feast, cook a big feast, and he can personally from his own hand, he can deliver prasadam to the Vaishnava devotees. That's nothing like it. It's very, very great service. And then you can just imagine how many Vaishnava devotees you are seeking. So much benefit the soul will get. That's it, one should do. After coming to spiritual life, after gaining spiritual knowledge, you should do something. Yeah.
Can I
And you are getting the
benefit.
You always get benefits for the Shraddha benefit actually. Nobody knows, like my Satyadeva was telling now, how this benefit is coming. But that's why the Shraddha said the benefit comes. Had gone somewhere else. So in the cottage of the Kudir, in the top roof, Chetmapu found one leaf. I took that leaf and saw it, and the same song was written there, in that leaf. Actually, that song is sung by Radharani, in the mood of separation from Krishna. So this song was sung by Chetmapu, and Prabhupada understood the mind of Chetmapu and wrote this verse. As it is, it's a very long verse. Beautifully he wrote that verse. And also Sarsana asked Sarvadamodar, how did he understand my mind? How did Rupa Goswami understand my mind? And Rupa Goswami, then Sarvadamodar said, my Lord, you have only empowered him to understand your mind. You empowered Lord Dasarsana, God, Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa Goswami as if Rupa Goswami was as good as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That much empowerment the Lord gave. So then Rupa Goswami can write literature by Bhaktira Samrita Sindhavata. That is why we say, Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam. Manavishtam means the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was known to Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Yanabhudale. Swayam Rupa Kadamasyam. Radhi Sapadantikam. So the first class desire is one who understands the mind of Sri Mantra and acts according to the desire. Second class desire is one who hears the order of the spiritual master and completely fulfills his order. Whatever order he gives, he fulfills the order. And is the third class desire too? He heard the instruction, but he never fulfilled. So Prabhupada said we should be at least second class disciples. And it is dangerous to be first class disciples because we don't know the internal desire of the spiritual master. Nor can we speculate about it. So it's better to be less second class disciples of the spiritual master. Should we chant one time? What's the time? Can we chant one time? And what? Mala is there? Yes, correct. They are karmis only. They are karmis. They are not karma yogis. Karma yogi means he should be giving away a part of his fruit. Then only is karma yogi. Actually, these three things, don't worry about these three things. If it is difficult also, when you finish after 34, you will understand these three things very clearly. But the last chapter, when you will conclude, this will become very clear. Three planets means the middle, upper, and lower. There is three planets. The middle in which you are living, and the upper means the first. They are all called as upper planetary system. And the part of Atala Vitala, Mahatala, Dasatala, Talatala, all these things. Lower ones, they are called as lower. So definitely in Shastra, it's called as three bands, three levels of planetary system like that. And totally 14 are there. Middle, upper, and lower, like the system. Like the system.